good to see so many folk here, to see parents of children who are part of our children's work, and also a number of visitors with us. So we welcome you this morning, and if you're able to join us at any of our further services next Sunday evening, we have our main church carol service, and then on Christmas morning we will be joining together for a service of praise and thanksgiving for God sending his Son into the world. Over the last few weeks, I have been looking at a series of messages from the Scriptures. I began with a great statement from the New Testament. The Son of God has come. The Son of God has come. And this is something that the Apostle John, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote to young Christians whose faith was being threatened. But alongside that, we have been looking at a few verses in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, where he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself nothing." And we're going to look at a section from that statement this morning. And that statement says that he was born in the likeness of men. He was born in the likeness of men. And when Jesus came into the world, he was the eternal Son of God. He had lived for eternity. But he was born in exactly the same way that you and I have been born. And this morning, I want us to focus on that, the fact that Jesus was born, that he was a human being. And this morning, I want to ask the question, what is Christmas all about? And I want to give three answers. First of all, it is about miraculous birth. Secondly, it is about belief. And thirdly, it is about spiritual birth. Now, it might help you, if you've got your Bibles, to have them open at that passage that Gareth read to us, because a lot of the things that I want to say this morning will come from that passage. Christmas is about birth, and you might want to say it's about miraculous birth. And already, in the way that Dave spoke to the children this morning, he didn't know what I was going to speak about, but he is prepared. He has spoken about some of the promises that were made hundreds and thousands of years before Jesus came to earth. So Christmas is about birth, about the miraculous birth. And the first miracle that I want us to see about this birth is that it was a promised birth. Now, in Luke 1 and verse 31, the angel is speaking to Mary, and he says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, that doesn't seem too much of a miracle. It's the natural process. But the miracle of this is that God had promised this before Mary had been married. He promised this 700 years before. Dave mentioned Isaiah, a prophet. Alongside Isaiah was a man called Micah, and he had promised that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Friends, Christmas is not just an accident. Christmas isn't something that people look back to and say, "Well, we'll start marking history from that point." No, Christmas is about God's promise, a promise of birth. It is a birth that was prepared for. And if you flick over into the next chapter, into Luke chapter 2, you will find that God not only prepared Mary and Joseph for the birth of their son, but he used the Roman authorities, because we are told in Luke 2 that the Roman authorities sent out a rule that, or a decree, that everybody should be registered. So this decree said that everybody had to go back to their home village, to their birthplace, to their ancestral lands. And therefore, Mary and Joseph went back to Bethlehem. And God had prepared for this. He wanted his son to be born in Bethlehem. And therefore, Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. How could they get to Bethlehem for the birth of the child? Well, God used the Roman authorities. It was a promised birth. It was a birth that was prepared. But it was also a birth that was proclaimed. People spoke about it as soon as it had happened. Now, today, people like to make birth announcements. If you're somebody who's grown up in Newport, you will know that births are often announced in the Argus. If you're a bit posh, a birth might be announced in the Times. But if you're up to date today, it'll be announced on Facebook or it'll be on WhatsApp. But that isn't what God used. Again, in chapter 2 and verse 9, we are told that God sent an angel. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you and all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It was proclaimed. It wasn't hidden. Sometimes people are embarrassed about birth. But no, God says, "I want everybody to know about this." And therefore, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was proclaimed. And the angel said, "To you is born this day in the city of David." And it was a proven birth. There were people who were witnesses to it. You go into chapter 2 and verse 16. "And they went," and that's the shepherds, "they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." Nobody was embarrassed about this birth. This birth was all part of God's plan. And God even brought wise men from the east. They didn't hear the angel speak. They studied the sky. They saw this new star that was in the sky. And they thought, "We are going to follow the light of this star. We're going to find out where this child is born." Christmas is about birth. Who is born? Human beings are born. Okay, any living animal is born. But the point of Christmas is that the Lord Jesus Christ is a human being. And I want you to remember that this morning, that the person that we worship as God is in fact Jesus, the Son of Mary. So it's about birth. It's about natural birth, a miraculous birth. But it's also about belief. Now, if we go back to chapter 1, you know, we know this story so well. And we can become complacent about it. But Mary, a teenager probably, or a woman in her early 20s, from the village of Nazareth, she was told that she would have a child. Now, in actual fact, in the Bible, she is not the first woman to be told that she would have a baby. Most of the others were, shall we say, more of mature years. They were getting on. They were old. They thought that they were past it. But Mary was a young woman. One woman who was told that she was going to have a baby was Sarai, the wife of Abraham, one of the first believers in the Old Testament. She was about 90. Don't give up hope, ladies. But when she heard the message, do you know what she did? She laughed because she could not believe. And she didn't believe it was possible. Then when we come a bit further through the Old Testament to the book of 2 Kings, we have a lady, we don't know what her name is, but she is described as the Shunammite woman, a woman of Shunem. She was good to the prophet Elisha. She built an extension on her house, and she allowed him to stay there when he was visiting. And Elisha appreciated what she had done. So he said, well, what can I do for this woman? And Elisha's servant said, well, she's never had any children. And he said, that's what we'll do. We'll ask God to give her a child. And God was prepared to do that. And when Elisha spoke to this woman, she said, don't lie to me. She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe that God could give her a child at her age. Then when we go through the whole of the Old Testament, and we come to the New Testament, it's recorded in the New Testament, but it's still, in actual fact, the history of the Old Testament, because Jesus hasn't come. There's an old man called Zechariah. He's a priest. I've got to be careful, mind. I called him an old man. It was expected that the priests would step down from work at 50. So he was still in his 40s. He was getting towards the time of his service. He went and he was leading God's people in service. He went into the temple, into the most holy place to take the blood of the sacrifice. And usually it was dark in there, but this day something happened. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah and he said, your wife Elizabeth will have a child and he will prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Zechariah said, how shall this be? Or how shall I know this? And again, he didn't believe that God was able to do this. And as a result, he was struck dumb for a few months, and he wasn't able to speak. But there was something different about Mary. When we read the story of Mary, yes, she does ask the question in verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the answer is given, or her response or her faith is shown in later down in verse 38. And it says, Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, Mary didn't understand how God was going to do this, but she didn't question whether God was able to do it. All she questioned was, well, I have never been married. I have not had the marriage relationship, and I don't understand how this can be. But she was prepared to say, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Elizabeth was a woman who believed. She trusted the Lord. So Christmas is about birth. Christmas is about belief. But thirdly, Christmas is about spiritual birth. We've seen natural birth or miraculous birth because it was a miracle. But now I want us to see the spiritual element of it and what God was going to show not only Mary, but the whole of humanity. Now, verse 34, we've seen it. Mary was baffled. And she asks the question, how will this be? Well, in John chapter 3, another man who was a teacher of God's people, we're told his name, and his name was Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus and he spoke to Jesus. And Jesus said to this man that Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked a question very similar to the question of Mary. And the question he asked was, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now keep that question in your mind, because we're going to go back to Mary's question. How will this be? Nicodemus said, how can a man be born? And as far as we are concerned, we don't know the answer to that question. How can a man be born again? We don't know how a virgin can have a child. But God says this to Mary, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And what the angel is saying to Mary is that the Holy Spirit will be at work in your life, and you will conceive. Nicodemus was told exactly the same thing. Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The angel came to Mary in order to produce a physical and a spiritual birth. He comes to every person who is going to become a Christian to produce spiritual birth. Let me read it again in John 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The conception and the birth of Jesus proclaims that God is able to produce both physical and spiritual life. The promise that was given to Nicodemus is that God is able to change broken human beings and to make them children of God, to make them born again. We sing in one of our carols, don't we? I think it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Born to give them second birth. Mary gave miraculous birth to the Son of God. He became a human being. Nicodemus, in the New Testament, knew the miraculous birth of being born again. And we can know that today. We can know the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Can we do that for ourselves? No, we can't. Because just as we were given life by our parents, so we will be given spiritual life by God. But what we can do is follow the example of Mary, where she was prepared to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, or trust God the Father, in order that the Lord Jesus Christ might be produced. So what do we need to do this morning? Well, if you are a Christian, what I would ask you to do this morning is to pray that God would give new life to other people. If you're not a Christian this morning, then I would call you to believe that God is able to give you new life, just as he gave it to Jesus, just as he gave it to Nicodemus, and that you might be born again when the Holy Spirit changes your life, that you might honor and glorify him. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that is our prayer this morning, that we would know the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our church so that you, if you are not a Christian this morning, might be born again and might become a child of God. And this Christmas, rejoice that God is your Father and that the Lord Jesus Christ is your older brother. Well, let's finish this part of our service now.